morning on this 14th Sunday after Pentecost. Boy, how time flies. It's actually the 14th Sunday after Pentecost today, and I'd like to invite you to prepare your hearts now for the reading. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the strength of our ancestors, the host of this meal, the builder of the city that is to come. Amen. Amen. If we have died with Christ, we will also live with Christ. Therefore, let us confess our sin to the one who is faithful and just. God of mercy and grace, we confess the many ways we have failed to live as your disciples. We have not finished what we began. We have feasted with friends but ignored strangers. We've been captivated by our possessions. Lift our burdens, gracious and merciful God. Refresh our hearts and forgive our sin. Raise us to the new life you have chosen for us in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. There is rejoicing in heaven when sinners repent. Put your trust in these promises. God will never leave you nor forsake you. You who were once lost have been found. For the sake of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven you. Rejoice with the angels at this good news. Amen. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, overflowing with mercy and compassion, you lead back to yourself all those who go astray. Preserve your people in your loving care, that we may reject whatever is contrary to you, and may follow all things that sustain our life in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.' The Lord said to Moses, 'I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone, so that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and of you I will make a great nation.' But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, 'O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, "It was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth"? Turn from your fierce wrath, change your mind, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people. The word of the Lord.
Yes.
A reading from 1 Timothy. I am grateful to Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason, I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 15th chapter. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I must have been feeling a little playful this week, because some of you will notice the announcement about the chorale. They're back, these fine sinners. I mean singers. Yesterday, in anticipation of preaching on this text, I thought, let's have a little fun today. So, how many of you will join with me in having a little fun? Okay, show of hands, nods of heads, good. Because it occurred to me that if I were reenacting today's gospel with a bit of a modern twist to it, I might be tempted to make it a fun little quiz show. Let's say Jeopardy, for example. That ever popular game show. I mean, who doesn't like to play along with Jeopardy? And of course, you all know the part that I get to play, right? You can all be the contestants, but since I'm writing the script here, I get to be the game show announcer. That's right. And I'd start by saying something like, playing the part of Alex Trebek in today's Final Jeopardy is none other than Jesus Christ, Son of Mary, Son of God. And then I'd point to Jesus. That's my job, after all. I'd point to Jesus, who would say something like, ladies and gentlemen, the Final Jeopardy category for today is first century parables. Now, make your wagers. And with a wink and a nod, I think Jesus might say, I hope they're all in. And then he'd go on to remind them, the contestants that is, that their response must be in the form of a question. So here is the answer. When telling the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin, this is the point I was trying to make. Contestant number one, what did you write down? And that contestant would hold up their sign and say, what is repentance? And Jesus would say, I'm sorry, that's incorrect. And what was your wager? Ooh, I see you wagered it all. And of course, you lost it all. Contestant number two, let's see what you wrote down. What is forgiveness of sins for repentant sinners? Huh, that's a great question, and it could very well have been the point. But I'm sorry to say that's not what we were after here. And I see you two wagered it all and are now left with nothing, nada. So contestant number three, let's see what you came up with. What is lost is now found. And Jesus would respond, oh my dad. Oh, my dad. Another fine response, but still not quite the point we're looking for. No, the correct response is, wait for it, wait for it. Here it comes. What is rejoice? There's a party going on, and would you believe everyone is invited? Now, that's a mouthful. And I would say all of those responses from the contestants were good ones. But it occurred to me for the first time when reading these parables together, the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. And by the way, the parable of the prodigal son follows this parable. So Jesus has told three stories of lost and found. Three stories, you might say, of repentant sinners turning around. But if that was the whole point of the parable that Jesus told, it doesn't seem to fit with the grumbling of the Pharisees and scribes that something lost is finally being found. Or repentance, that is, turning one's life around, reorienting it toward God and away from that which takes us from God. It's not even about repentant sinners. Because why would Jesus use a missing sheep and a lost coin to make that illustration, to make that point? Think about it. Can a sheep repent of its sins? Can a coin even by itself, is it even capable of sinning? It's true. God loves to forgive repentant sinners. This is true. God wants to create in us a clean heart and a right spirit. This is true. And of course, God wants us to turn from our ways and reorient ourselves toward God and God's ways. That is also true. God wants us to take an honest look and examine our hearts and confess those things that keep us from fully trusting God above all else. In fact, in the first epistle of John, it is written, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And that is a word of grace and promise. But here's the thing. Sometimes I think we forget that God is the actor here, the main attraction. That God is the one who is faithful and just. It is God who forgives our sins, and it is God who cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Indeed, we are a lot like a lost sheep that goes astray or a coin that goes missing. Because the sheep may not even realize it was lost in the first place. And frankly, oftentimes we don't realize it when we're lost. Or if we do realize it, we can't or won't admit it. And the coin doesn't even have the cognitive ability to know that it's lost. That lone lost sheep and that little insignificant coin were lost only after their caretaker or rightful owner discovered that they were missing. I'm no shepherd, but I suspect sheep might go merrily along their way, not realizing they are lost, even when danger is lurking in the shadows. I'm pretty sure they don't think, "Oh no, I'm lost." I hope that in this parable we might see a little different twist on it and see how the shepherd comes looking for that sheep. To remember that the searching is at God's initiative. God is like a shepherd who searches high and low until that lone lost sheep is found. It is our sheep herding God, our shepherd God, who goes out of God's way to find us. And when we are found, God picks us up and slings us on God's shoulder, and God carries us home to the flock where we belong. Likewise, it is God who is like a frantic woman who relentlessly sweeps her house, looking diligently for that lost coin of hers until she finally finds it. And in both cases, the protagonist is not the sheep, but the shepherd, not the coin, but the woman. They are the ones who rejoice and celebrate when what was lost is found. They're the ones who throw a party for their friends and neighbors, saying, "Come and rejoice with me. Celebrate, for that which was lost is now found." It's also true that God raised Jesus from the dead to save us and all people from the power of sin and death. And that Jesus, who on the cross gave his all for the sake of all, wants his followers, those of us who claim to follow Jesus, to risk everything, to be all in. And you can be sure that God will relentlessly sweep an entire house in search of what others might be tempted to say is insignificant, practically worthless. A little coin. And God will even foolishly leave 99 sheep behind to search for the one who has gone astray until it is found and brought safely home again. And you can be sure that when the lost are found, God pulls out all the stops. God throws a lavish party, as God did in the prodigal story, for the son who returned home. God throws a lavish party, the likes of which none of us could even dare to imagine. God celebrates like there's no yesterday, today, or tomorrow, only forever. And God makes sure everyone receives an engraved invitation to the party so that no one is excluded, no one is left out, no one is deemed unworthy, unloved, unforgivable, unwanted, or insignificant. From the last to the least and the lost, all are included. Everyone has a place at the table, even those tax collectors and sinners who made the Pharisees and scribes grumble. Truly, my friends, that is known as amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. And that will always be the final answer. God's grace, God's amazing grace. Because as ludicrous as it may sound, God's grace is not only what finds us when we're lost, but it is God's grace that saves us, redeems us, and sanctifies us in the one true faith. Thanks be to God.
With the whole church, let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Sustained and nurtured by our generous God, we gather as one to pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. Bless pastors, deacons, musicians, and all church leaders in their ministries, so that your gospel is shared through their faithful leadership and living. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Protect and preserve habitats and biospheres, especially in places damaged by natural disaster or human alteration. Restore balance to deserts, oceans, polar regions, and temperate areas. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Instruct all the world's people, nations, and governments in ways of justice, mercy, and peace. Lead us away from the idols of power, war, self-centeredness, and fear. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Strengthen those who work with people in crisis, firefighters, police officers, hospital staff, chaplains, nurses, doctors, emergency responders, staff and counselors in rehab centers and shelters. Give them wisdom and compassion so that those in need are well supported and cared for. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Show mercy to the lost, O God. Welcome to the outsiders and comfort to the suffering and dying. We pray for all who need your abiding love and healing presence. Especially this day, we lift up before you Sharon Henry, Mike Kennedy, Doug Martin, Craig Scott, Ed Sullivan, and Paul Yoder. For whom else do the people pray? For all those we've named aloud, and for all who suffer in silence, in secret, or in shame, we pray. Lord, in your mercy. We give you thanks, merciful God, for the beloved sheep of your fold who have died and now find life in your eternal glory. Embrace us as we hope and rejoice in your unfailing redemption, and make your presence known to all who mourn. Especially today we remember Brian and Wendy Race at the death of Brian's brother Ken, and for the family and friends of Marianne Kimball. Lord, in your mercy, assured by your promise to hear us when we pray, we lay all our prayers before your throne of grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share God's peace now with one another. Well, once again, welcome to worship. We're glad that you're here. Special welcome to those who are visiting with us today. A couple of announcements. You'll see many of them printed in the bulletin, but I want to remind you that today, in celebration of having the corral back and in celebration of El Rey's sabbatical, his 35th year of ministry here, El Rey will be showing slides at 12:45 of his sabbatical, but also there will be a potluck after this service. So if you can stay, please join us in the parish hall, and we'll have a feast and then see those slides. Also want to make note that today there is a special offering for Eugene Mission. It's our tradition to lift up one ministry a month that's outside of our church, and so this month it's Eugene Mission. You can make your checks payable to Central Lutheran and put Mission in the memo line, and then when you come up for Holy Communion, you can place those in the globe that's front and center before us. The other offerings you can just put in the plates. But at this time, I want to call on Larry Campbell to come and give us a word from the foundation. Thanks, Larry, as he makes his way here to the lectern.
Greetings from your foundation. Many of you, in fact, all of you, should have received a letter sometime in the last week or so. It was personally signed by the president of the foundation, Steve Weilich. And it basically told you about a project that we're undertaking. And it's the first project that the foundation has taken in many years. It's a project to strengthen our ability to help our seniors as they graduate from high school and provide them with scholarships in order for them to recognize that we as a church are supportive of our young people. Now, the ask was big. It was $50,000. Interestingly enough, though, one of those scholarships, and this will take care of two of them, will be named for Ruth Warner, because it was Ruth's trust, loving trust, that provided $10,000 for this project. Unidentified dollars plus the contributions from the foundation board members make up $11,500. So you see, we've already got over $20,000 of the $50,000. Now it comes to you. We're going to ask that the folks give us a pledge, if you're able to, a pledge to help retire that $27,000. Now, we've got 6 months to do that. We'd like to have your pledge now, and then you could take your time to pay for it. But the idea is that we need to make sure that our young people have an opportunity for a proper education. Now, it's interesting because I asked the parents and students of our recipients from past scholarships if they would mind making a comment regarding whether or not this is a worthwhile program. We haven't received a lot of them, but we've received a lot of indication that we're going to receive information from them. But there's one I just received this morning. I'm not going to share with you until next week. But this one says, "So sorry, we had requested it. I noticed this, and I'm minutes away from boarding a plane. But quickly, our child of the church just graduated from Stanford June 2019. With distinction, with a B.S. degree in physics, debt-free, thanks to scholarships. Not too many students can say that anymore. And now on to a Ph.D. program in physics, atomic molecular optics." I can't even say it. "Which will be another 6 years, but a full-ride scholarship. Hope you are going to get a good response to your fundraising. This is such a gift." Now, in that letter, you also had a pledge card. And if you're like me, you probably misplaced it, don't have it. So thoughtfully, we placed extra pledge cards on the coffee table outside. So when you go out, pick up your pledge card, fill it out, and remember, you got 6 months to pay it off. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Larry. And now let us continue our worship with the meditation.
Please stand as you're able. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, for the greening earth given for all, for the talents we are given to share, and for this bread and wine. Transform us to be the body of Christ, that feasting on this food and drink, our lives may reflect your generosity. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
and our duty that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, Holy God, through Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. God, you alone are holy, you alone are God. The universe declares your praise beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath. We praise you, O God. Generations bless your faithfulness through the water, by night and day, across the wilderness, out of exile, into the future. We bless you, O God. We give you thanks for your dear Son, at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, and with us now. We thank you, O God. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and offered it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his love for us on the way, at the table, and to the end, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We pray for the gift of your Spirit in our gathering within this meal, among your people and throughout the world. Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, through Christ Jesus, by your Spirit in your church without end. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God given freely to us, the people of God. I invite you to be seated, and as soon as the communion servers are in place, we'll invite you to come forward, receiving the bread in the form of a wafer, and then dipping it into the cup.
Thank you.
Please stand as you're able. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. God of blessing, at this table we have been strengthened for the journey through the gift of Christ's body and blood. With renewed hearts, send us now to shine with your goodness and bear witness to the one we have received, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
And now receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen.
We'll hang out for a little bit.
Sends us forth to serve. Thanks be to God.